Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, we're going to discuss Mortal Kombat, and then we're going to discuss Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the entire series now that it is completed. So let's finish the show. My name is Aaron Peterson, and that was ridiculous. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Get over here!
And filling in, actually taking Amanda's spot. She can't be here this week, so Vinny Schwartz, who was on our WandaVision after-ho for what, 9 episodes, I think? You covered that one. Welcome aboard.
Hello, hello. Did I do that right?
Yeah,
no.
You did it right.
Yes, your court-appointed fill-in host is here. Hi, how's it going?
Good, good. You have seen both of these properties, right?
I have. I think I enjoyed both a little bit more than Amanda, so it just makes sense that I'm here.
Yes, because I have issues with with some parts of it. So you definitely want some variance, but I mean, she's welcome to join, you know, with her disdain. That's more than welcome. I believe she hated Winter and the Falcon Soldier, or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, though, correct?
Winter and the Falcon Soldier. That's a whole new
season 2. I actually want to see that one. That sounds interesting.
It's going to be great.
Someone's going to court.
That's going to be one of those,
like those asylum picture kind of things where they make it almost close enough to what just came out, but not quite.
Yeah, Asylum. Thank you. Yeah. It's going to be an Asylum movie. Good deal.
Yep. Legally distinct is the best kind of distinct.
All right. Well, before we get into that, this really just happened and I thought this was funny, so I got to mention it. There was a woman, I believe, who just got charged with a felony in Oklahoma for not returning a videotape for 21 years. Apparently it's a felony in Oklahoma. And I feel great. Just great that we spent time on that kind of law.
Yeah, why couldn't they just charge her several thousand dollars for that?
This law must not have been around when Blockbuster was in prominence.
Yeah, Blockbuster wasn't available to hit those late fees. That's why. Jeez.
Ah, I gotcha.
Ah, all right. Well, let's start with it. We're going to do this now. Spoilers are aplenty. Now, I don't know if you can really spoil Mortal Kombat, honestly, but definitely you can Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So if you haven't watched either one of these, I wouldn't be so worried about Mortal Kombat. Yeah, guess what? Fatalities. There you go. There's the movie. The story isn't there, so you don't really have to worry about it.
What story?
We're going to talk about both of them. Very spoilery. So if you have a problem with that, then you might want to come back once you've seen them, or if you just don't care and you're here for the fun, we'll have that too. So let's start with Mortal Kombat. And if you didn't know, I'm going to tell you what the actual story is. MMA fighter Cole Young, accustomed to taking a beating for money, is unaware of his heritage or why Outworld's Emperor Shang Tsung has sent his best warrior, Sub-Zero, an otherworldly cryomancer, to hunt Cole down. Fearing for his family's safety, Cole goes in search of Sonya Blade. At the direction of Jax, a special forces major who bears the same strange dragon marking Cole was born with. What? Soon, he finds himself at the temple of Lord Raiden, an elder god and the protector of Earthrealm, who grants sanctuary to those who bear the mark. Here, Cole trains with experienced warriors Liu Kang, Kung Lao, and rogue mercenary Kano as he prepares to stand with Earth's greatest champions against the enemies of Outworld in a high-stakes battle for the universe. But will Cole be pushed hard enough to unlock his arcana, the immense power from within his soul, in time to save us? We'll find out. I didn't know any of that stuff happened.
Well, I remember it happening. I just didn't care.
Let's start. You know, I don't want to laugh because a lot of people really love this movie because they're fans of the game and whatnot. So I guess before we talk about thoughts on the story, air quotes, coming into Mortal Kombat, what was your feeling on this whole property? Like, were you excited for this? Did you really not care? Were you a big video game fan? Vinny, you're a guest, so you tell us first.
My expectations were actually pretty tepid. It's Mortal Kombat. If you know anything about the games, they do have a bit of story, but it's not much. It's kind of goofy sometimes and paper thin other times. So based on that, the 95 iteration, I wasn't expecting too much. And I was pleasantly surprised because I got slightly more than not that.
Slightly more than nothing?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you expect nothing, you can't be disappointed.
We will disagree. What about you, Jeff?
I'm I was pretty much in the same boat. I went into this expecting to see a dumpster fire of just gore and blood and guts and all that. And what I got was a dumpster fire, gore and blood and guts and fighting. But I had fun watching it.
Okay. I was a big fan of the game. Loved the game. I really liked the original 95 movie. Annihilation, the sequel, was bad. Horrible. I didn't like that one at all.
What? Yeah. News to me and the rest of the world, right?
Yeah, I know, right? Shocking. Going into this, though, like, I didn't expect much. I really didn't expect much. And I'm somebody who says adamantly, go into a movie and watch the movie they're trying to make, not the one you want. That's my whole critic's view on all movies. Stop making it about what you want. Make it what's on the screen. And even with those expectations, I was the story was kind of like, Just stop. Stop trying to make this work because it doesn't. And you know what's sad? It opened fantastic for me. Like, I love the opening to this movie. I thought it was great. Like, you really built stakes and you had some heart and humanity. And I thought the freaking murdering the mom and the baby were awesome, because that was just like, whoa, who does that at the start of a movie? That was pretty fantastic. And I just, maybe I set my expectations a little higher at that moment because the story stopped at that point. I don't know what happened.
No, that's fair, because it starts off, like you said, super strong with lots of great fight choreography. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of devolves into this guy who just punches people in the face. And you're like, who's this? Oh, I guess he's important, I guess. But he's not Scorpion, and he's not like the original kind of main hero you'd see, like Liu Kang or Kung Lao or any of those guys. So I think that's where you kind of lose a little bit of interest, is when your leading man isn't all that interesting.
It got just far too complicated. I feel like it was trying too hard when it could have just simplified the whole thing. Like, I didn't put it this way. Everybody's like, how are you arguing the story in a Mortal Kombat movie? I am not, because it shouldn't be there. Like, it doesn't need to be there. It's all about the fights.
Right.
But there are a lot of lulls where it's about some story and it doesn't make any damn sense. So I am judging it based on the movie, and they tried to force in a story that didn't work, in my opinion.
Yeah. The thing that I thought was just aggravating as all hell is that you got Raiden, who's God. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing they're dealing with is like, all right, let's train and practice until this power emerges from inside of us. Well, they could have solved that much differently by saying, okay, Raiden imbues everyone or imbues an object for that person, and that object gives whatever power to that person who wields it or holds it or something like that. That was so much easier and so much less hokey than the power is inside of you. You will have to unlock it.
Who's the master?
Right.
Just waiting for that moment. Like, when are they going to start glowing? Because that would be great.
There was some glowing left and right. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true. There was a little bit of glowing.
Yeah, it was a fucking laser beam.
That was pretty good. Kano is probably my favorite character, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But in terms of the actual story, did it work for you? Did it accomplish? I mean, Vinny, it sounds like you really enjoyed the movie as a whole. So did the story work for you? Because I'm kind of with John on that whole simplify it, make it a little bit more simple. That, because I didn't quite understand this whole Arcana or Arcana, however you want to say it, where he's trying to, you have to unlock it, and apparently that's your special ability. Okay, so Jax had to lose his arms to find his? Like, I don't understand. Like, if he never lost his arms, would he never have a power? I don't understand how that works. Like, there's really no science there.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is, you know, the Citizen Kane of video game movies. It is definitely dumb. It's real dumb. But I think that's why I can enjoy it. It's just like, I'm here for guys to get their heads ripped off and spines broken in really interesting and fun ways, as fun as that can be. So, again, not expecting too much. Yeah, there are definitely lots of problems, but I think I don't know, I wasn't expecting Shakespeare. So I can overlook dumb stuff, because I like dumb stuff sometimes. Sometimes it's fun to turn your brain off. Like,
I screwed turning your brain off. I had to take my brain out put it in a little box, and then kick that box into a pit of rabid raccoons. That's what, like, and just so I would never see it again. That's how.
If that's what it takes.
That's how much I had to go, all right, the story doesn't matter. Let's just see how cool they make this.
If I just, and that's probably my, where the problem comes with me, because every time there wasn't a fight, I was bored senseless. And that's because of the story they were trying to jam in here. When there was, the fights were fantastic. Like, honestly, I loved the fights. The editing, though, bad in many, many respects, but I'll come back to that. But
yeah, yeah, there's some goofy.
Oh, man, the whole end, like, of the, there's like a point in the third act where it literally is like, hey, we got to end this shit. Like, you guys ready to wrap this up? Because we're just going to cut to everybody in their own fight. Like, just go.
Well, yeah, that I knew that was going to be a real sticking point when they first introduced Outworld, because we were in a totally unrelated scene. I think Raiden said something and then just hard cut to Outworld. And I was like, what? Okay. I guess we're there now. Well, interesting.
They orchestrate their plan. And they're like, here's what we're going to do. We're each going to take them on individually. And then bam, they're there. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Is there no transition? We're not even going to try to transition this at all. Maybe we could get Lewis from Ant-Man in here or something. Can we do that? So we can explain this.
So it was crazy. Outworld came, and then this dude froze everyone, and then he started killing everyone. But then the Shang Tsung dude came, and he's like, your soul is mine. And then
there, that would have solved a lot of these problems. Cause man, that was clunky. That was clunky. So we agree the story is a little ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On the same token, do you feel like it felt like the video game for you, if you were a fan of the video game?
I'd say yeah. I could definitely see this being an adaptation of one of the earlier games or something. Definitely would be cutting out, because, I mean, the earlier games really didn't have that much to it. It's like this character has this motivation for being in the tournament, so they go through the tournament and then they win. That's it. So, like, all the extra side fluff would have been cut out, and maybe that would have made a better movie or game.
I think so. Yeah, I do. I really think pacing was a problem for me. Anyway, I'm just speaking for me. But, you know, when I'm rolling my eyes whenever they're not fighting, and that was a problem. And I liked most of the actors. Like, most of the characters I legitimately liked. So, it wasn't anything to do with performances or anything else. It was just the story didn't work at all. And the dialogue was rough, and the anything Kano wasn't saying didn't really work.
Well, the only one who had anywhere near the amount of fun, actually, I think he had more fun than Kano, was the voice actor for Cabal. That guy was having a blast.
It's Dewey Crow from Justified.
Is that really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Dewey Crow.
Oh, man. I didn't even bother looking it up, because I was like, they obviously got a bunch of mostly nobody actors except for Joe Taslim. I think that's how you say his last name. And Hiroyuki Sanada. Obviously, I like those two personally. I don't know if they're super popular with most people. But other than that, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much how the first one was. It's just, let's get a bunch of people no one really knows about. Maybe to help lower expectations. I don't know if that was the plan, but yeah, that's interesting.
Well, McCad Brooks has been in a bunch of stuff. That's Jax. He's been around for a little bit. He was in True Blood and what else? Supergirl for quite a long while.
Never seen that either.
Well, those are good things.
He was Jimmy Olsen.
Well, the one connection, I mean, really is just to the video game is very much the characters. Definitely Johnny Cage comes up at the end, which I like that, because I totally forgot about him. Honestly, it's been so long since I played a Mortal Kombat game. But it was really fun, like, having that whole nostalgia factor just kick in, because I'm like, oh, I remember them. And their power, like, shows up, and I'm like, I remember that. So what did you guys think about the characters themselves? Like, who really stood out for you personally?
No one really stood out, but with the exception of, like I mentioned, Cabal. I thought Cabal was, which was funny because he doesn't have a face and he's more of a voice. I thought Cabal had stole the scene in every single fight scene he was in, as far as his voice is concerned. And it seemed like to deliver everything as if he was the one person who attended an acting class.
Wow.
Harsh.
Shade thrown.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's a
flawless victory.
Oh my god, I can't believe they actually threw that stuff in there. Like, there's just to say
I
the word.
I kind of liked it. It was so cheesy. I liked it.
It was just cheesy enough where I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to let you have that one. That was good.
Yeah. I'm kind of there also, but I'm also like, come on. All right, I see what you're doing, but come on.
Well, because I think you got that problem where Aaron was mentioning it earlier. They tried to take things too seriously, but then they did that, and you can't have both.
Right.
Yeah. You got to do one or the other.
This one kind of runs into the same problem that New Mutants did, where it's like, all right, we're going to add all the blood and guts and gore, but maybe a 13-year-old might watch this.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, every 13-year-old's going to watch this. It's on HBO Max for crying out. They don't even have to go to a theater if they don't really want to. Oh, mom and dad are sleeping. Sweet. What about you, Vinny? Who stood out for you?
Honestly, funny enough, some of the characters with like the least amount of screen time. Scorpion, Jax, and Kung Lao. Scorpion, again, played by Hiroyuki Sanada. He's a great martial artist. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen him in anything else he's been in, he's always fun to watch. It's really unfortunate that they only really had him in the beginning and the end. I think that was a mistake. I mean, I get it. They're focusing on his bloodline and this new guy is carrying it on and blah, blah, blah. But I want more Scorpion. I mean, he's kind of like the flagship character.
What do you think
of Mortal Kombat?
What did you think of the whole, I was waiting in hell, channeling the flames to come back and then get you. I'm like, how did you come back? I still don't understand how he really came back. Like, he just shows up. He just randomly shows up out of hell.
I guess because Louis Tan's character, the main guy, Joe. His hand gets cut. Cole, sorry. Yeah, see, he's so just non-memorable. My bad.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm with you. I just happen to be looking at the IMDb.
Okay, gotcha. That's fair. I probably should do that. anyways, but he gets cut with that knife that Raiden took because he's like, yes, in the future, his descendant will need this, and he's going to cut himself with it a little bit, and it's going to summon Scorpion. That's how that works.
Yeah.
We're in, like, the games and movies and all that, he just shows up because he can do that. And you'd think someone fueled by revenge and hatred and all that would be like, oh, Sub-Zero's back. Yeah, I'm going to go fight him. Nah, he's like, just sitting there, like, come on, man, just a little nick. Come on, come on. It's like Beetlejuice sitting there, like, just say my name three times. Just do it.
Just say my name three times.
That's fine. And then Jax, I thought he was a lot of fun.
He was.
Especially when he actually gets his metal arms and just that little fight scene. So fun. Because he's actually one of the characters I'd play the most. Just because his fatalities, again, really fun. Which they had the homage to where he just clapped both his hands over his head and just pop.
That was great. I love that they brought in some of their signature moves. And yeah. Makai Brooks, who plays Jax, he was a lot of fun. And I was...
Yeah.
Really kind of bummed there for a minute when Sub-Zero like just rips his arms off. And I'm like, wait, he's robot arms. So he'll come back. He'll come back. Thankfully.
But again, at the end.
Yeah.
Way later.
He was gone way too long for sure.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of Sub-Zero. I thought they really got creative with him in terms of all the different things he was doing. I really loved every time he arrived, it would be like a vampire coming into town, like Dracula shows up. I mean, it's almost like a fog surrounding him, but instead it is ice and cold. And I just thought that was a really cool aesthetic that played very well for that character, that gave him a little bit more mystique than pretty much any other character except Scorpion.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of made him like the mini boss of the whole thing.
I'd say they made him the full boss.
Well, ultimately, he was the final boss.
Yeah, he was.
Technically.
I mean, thinking of like Shang Tsung's the final boss, but yeah, as far as like guys who actually fought, yeah, he was like the main goal.
Weren't you kind of bummed that Shang Tsung and Raiden never really had a fight?
Well, yeah, because I figured they would, and like he'd get killed or banished, and then Shao Kahn would come out for the sequel, but I guess they have a lot more in store, maybe. I don't know if I want all that though, but we'll get to that later, I guess.
Yeah, they got four movies waiting.
I really wanted to see Raiden cut loose in this one. I was really disappointed that you didn't get to see it.
Oh man, and have Jack Burton show up, because that makes sense.
Right.
Why not? Yeah, I was really bummed about that. I thought honestly Shang Tsung didn't really He wasn't very imposing to me. I thought Raiden was pretty cool. He came across as a god. Shang Tsung just seemed like, I don't know, just kind of that whiny guy from Big Trouble in Little China. Didn't really do anything.
Yeah. And well, even I like mean, that whole thing where he stole the one guy's soul. That was. I didn't have any feelings for that moment.
You had no feelings for that moment?
Yeah,
that was cool.
I'll spoil your soul.
Yeah, the visuals were the visuals were pretty cool. And then I actually was like, oh man, they killed Kung Lao in like the one time he's actually a cool character. That sucks.
It did suck. And like, you got a hubcap for a helmet. That was pretty funny. Like, there's some funny throwaway lines in here. That was
again from Kano.
Yeah. Just
he's having a blast.
Easily the most fun character in the whole thing. But yeah, Kung Lao's fatality was, I think, the best one, honestly, personally. But we'll talk about those in a few minutes. Okay, so what or who didn't work for you? I kind of talked about the story, but in terms of like characters or actors or anything, what did or what didn't work for you?
Liu Kang's accent is just kind of all over the place, in and out, and just really bizarre to me.
He's a little bit like Michael Jackson in moments. You know, a little bit like, hey, let's all embrace the light. What is going on? It was a tone.
I mean, I don't know what his natural accent is, but maybe just have him do that instead of trying to sound all mystic and stuff. I don't know.
I just wanted to moonwalk by the end. I'm like, please, just moonwalk.
For being Liu Kang, he wasn't as impressive as like the previous iteration of Liu Kang was. Like that guy had, you know, he had presence and he was able to hold his own. This guy felt too small, and like even his fireballs seemed to be they weren't that cool. His fatality, on the other hand, that was pretty badass. But you know, he didn't impress me as much.
All right, let's talk about that. Let's just jump to fatalities, because honestly, that's why we went to see this stupid movie, right? Like,
right.
That you guys enjoyed. I'm not saying the movie's stupid, but you know what I'm saying. You got me.
Yeah, we had fun. Yeah. It's dumb, but we had fun.
We went to see it because we want to see blood and guts. Now, first thing, did it need to be R-rated? I vote yes. You guys?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What did you guys think of the finishing moves? What was your favorite? And did they nail that part of the game?
They absolutely nailed that part of the game with, you know, Jax's fatality and the Kung Lao's fatality. Like, I was really hoping to see something like see Scorpion rip somebody's skull and spine out of their body. We didn't get to see that, unfortunately. But yeah, there was a lot of great things. Or Gorgo, for that matter. Like, I wanted to see him do something nasty to somebody, but we didn't get it. My favorite probably has to be Liu Kang's. That was just nice to look at.
Remind people what he did.
What he did is he did the whole fire move where he turned a fireball into a dragon, and the dragon kind of eats or burns somebody up with fire, or eats, kind of whatever you want to call it. And yeah, that's what it was.
All right. Ready, what about you?
Yeah, it was definitely... It's nice to see all these little touches to remind you of the games. And it's definitely... For people who are fans of the games, and even if you're not, it's just cool to watch. But if you know about this stuff, it's like, oh yeah, that is exactly how I'd imagine that going. Like the Scorpion fire-breathing thing, just torches Sub-Zero. And again, the Kung Lao one, where he just throws his hat on the ground and it just becomes like a sawmill buzzsaw, and he just pushes her through it. So satisfying.
Is that your favorite then?
Oh yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it was on some nobody character that just flew around, but
she's so beautiful.
So fun to watch.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah, I don't... That's a weird character. I didn't get that.
Her scream is something else. What?
Her screech. What?
Her screech. All she did... That's all she did. She flew around and she screeched and he looked around like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. What?
I mean, there was a lot of buildup for her and I'm like, oh, what's she going to do? Oh, apparently she's going to get her face split. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
And not really a fatality, but a fun little Easter egg for when Jax does get his arms frozen off in, oh no, I guess that would be, yeah, that was Sub-Zero's fatality, but in the background there's graffiti for Sub-Zero's fatality, which is back down, down, punch.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's on a wall in the background. It's like graffitied on there.
That's awesome. I did not catch that at all.
That's a nice little Easter egg.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I freaking loved Sub-Zero's most of his murders. I really love the one where he kills the wife and baby. I know that's awful, but it was cool. It was neat. You don't do that.
Tell us more about your obsession there.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was really bummed when the family comes back to life later when Young's family comes out of the ice. I'm like, oh, they can thaw? So Scorpion could have just like found some fire and this would have been solved. No lifetime vendetta. Ah, that's depressing. And yeah, you know
that seems silly.
You know he's pissed, right? Because now he's out of hell and he's got all of these fire powers. And you're like, wait, what? This, what? That? I didn't know it was an option. I assumed they were dead. They were frozen. Like, that sounds like a problem. Damn it. I did love all the action with Scorpion's weapon. You know, how we made him get over here. That whole thing. Like, that was great. Like, all the fighting in this movie was pretty great, other than the editing was very choppy and kind of schlocky in parts. I really felt like they needed a better editor to capture the veracity of some of the fights. That's the only qualm I would have. But man, the one with the chainsaw is easily my favorite, because that was just like, oh shit. Number two is Jax. Jax smashing the head. That's the noise. It was great. It's great.
Anyone have a problem with Scorpion saying "get over here" but then never saying another word in English?
No. Mm-mm. No. That's a fan. It is totally a fan thing.
Yeah. It's weird if you sit there and think about it, but again, just take that brain, put it in your box. put it on Elon Musk's next rocket and just send it to Mars, cuz just try to enjoy it.
Pit of rabid raccoons. There we go.
There you go. In there. So Warner Brothers says they have 4 movies possible should this thing be successful. I don't know at this point we're recording before we really have the box office return, so we don't know how popular it'll be in that term, but I've seen a lot of people watching it on HBO Max. So, I mean, a lot of fans are watching this one. If they make 4 movies or they go forward with this, is that something you would want to see, or where are you at with this whole Mortal Kombat universe, where I assume Vin Diesel shows up at some point?
Well, it is about family a lot at times.
It is, yeah.
Yep.
You do?
For me, I would have to say if they continue doing this on like HBO Max, I'll watch it. But I paying money to go to the theater to go see it, I don't know if I can commit to that.
Yeah, I could go for one more. I don't want a whole trilogy or whatever Fast and the Furious is doing.
And Octogenility.
They even had the epic known as Fast and the Furious. They had a show called Mortal Kombat Legacy that was really good. So maybe if they did something like that, like a short series, maybe I'd watch that on HBO Max. But other than that, I'd go for one more movie.
But
I could do one more if they. Yeah, I don't know about that, man.
That's a lot.
That's That is a lot, especially when I'm pretty sure they blew their whole writing load on like the first half of this movie. And they're like, just throw stuff in there. Just throw it in. Just throw it on screen. We'll edit it. It'll be better. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure an executive from Warner is like, hey, that wasn't too bad. Well, you guys good for like 4 more? And he's just like, sure.
Yeah, I don't want 4 movies, but I would watch Joe Taslim. He's Sub-Zero. I would watch a Sub-Zero spinoff, but not like this, where they're doing like all kinds of little fights, where he's actually, there's a story, a mission or something. I would love to watch that, because I was really fascinated with his character and his powers, and I'm like, they did some really cool shit with ice. I would watch that all day. I don't know, have him partner up with Disney and do like some kind of crossover with Frozen. I don't know, but I just would love to see more of that character. I don't need more Mortal Kombat movies, though. I mean, I had a hard time calling this one a movie. Still do.
I'm imagining Elsa fighting Sub-Zero.
Oh, wouldn't it be great?
Ice ring. Just
great. All right. So if $10 is full price of admission, what do you ultimately give Mortal Kombat?
I'm going $4.50.
Ooh. I was going to be generous and give it like $5.50. Because again, it just the fun parts, like you said, the fight scenes really are kind of what help push it along and keep you in. But yeah, other than that, there's not a whole lot there.
Yeah, $4.50. That's my That was my score too. I'm actually kind of surprised that anyone, I was really expecting more, honestly, from you guys to back that up. But like I said, I walk into every movie and try to base my, you know, cause I'm a film critic, you know, I'm on Rotten Tomatoes. I got to take it seriously in some respects. Well, I still want to enjoy movies. So, but I try to review them based on the movie they're making, and they started trying to stuff in this story that makes no sense and they shouldn't have. Like, that was their problem. And the editing is really, really bad in the final act, I think. It's just really choppy. So, but it's worth a watch. Like, I think if you, like you said, take your brain off, send it to the rabbits or what is it? The raccoons or space, either one. I think you can have a good time with it and just enjoy it for what it is. Now, would you say this is a good video game movie? Because here's my question. You know, whenever I talk to video gamers, they're always like, we just, you know, I mean, it's like the video game, da da da. I'm like, yeah, but it still has to be a movie. Like, I feel like that's always forgotten. That's always like, well, it's got to be like the video game. No, it's got to embrace the video game. It's got to be a movie. Otherwise, just play that goddamn video game. So what do you guys think? Is this a good video game movie, in your opinion?
Video game movie, no. Good Mortal Kombat movie, if we're getting really down to it? Yeah, sure. But other than that, I think video games already have their own like story elements to them, and especially ones that are very story-driven. Like, the newer Mortal Kombats are trying something like that. Like, they're trying to go for, like, these big, grandiose stories with more intense characters and plot lines. So I think if you have a property like that, you either need to do the story better or just try to adapt what they already have just with your own slight spin on it, not kind of go in between.
Sure.
Or whatever this was.
Exactly. Whatever this was.
I mean, it's definitely not the worst.
No.
Especially when you... Especially when you have more recent examples like Monster Hunter, but I won't get into that.
Man, that movie is so good in that 5 minutes before it ends. Like, when it suddenly becomes actually Monster Hunter. That was pretty funny.
I
know. I get you.
So, yeah.
I'm pretty much in the same boat. As far as, like, being a good video game movie, certainly you can find worse examples of video game movies. Is it good for being a video game movie? No. I still say no. The idea of watching a video game movie and people trying to get something out of it to me is like, it's like missing the point of video games.
Mm.
Point of video games is for you to live that story and be there. But if you're watching somebody else play the game, I don't find how that's as enjoyable, you know?
It's like Twitch the movie.
Right. Twitch the movie. Like, it's actually, I'm going to leave it there. Twitch the movie.
Don't say that. Please don't. They're going to do that.
Too late. Too late.
They made movies about emojis and all kinds of other things. Don't do that.
Do it. Twitch the movie. I want to see it. I want credit on there. Story credit. Oh. Story credit. All right. Remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group, which is The Hollywood Outsider. It's a closed group, so you got to look for it. And we're on Twitter at @BuyPopcorn. Now, we're going to move to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. All spoilers are allowed, and this is for the whole 6 episodes that has been on Disney Plus. It has completed, and here's what it's about. Following the events of Avengers Endgame, Sam Wilson, or Falcon, and Bucky Barnes, formerly the Winter Soldier. I don't think he's technically the Winter Soldier anymore. There's just such a gray line there. Team up in a global adventure that tests their abilities and their patience. Sam gives up the shield Cap gave to him, only to see the government give it to John Walker as the new Captain America. Bucky is pissed, but he teams up with Sam to look into the Flag Smashers, aka one of the worst named villain organizations in history. An underground group of super soldiers that want to remind the world that the poor people of the world matter. John Walker gets power hungry, takes the super soldier serum. His friend is murdered, so he straight up murders another dude as revenge. Sam gets his shield back, becomes the real new Captain America. He and Bucky take down the Flag Smashers once and for all, and then Captain America 4 is announced like 5 minutes after this episode airs. So, whew, The series is done. 6 episodes. What did you think overall now that you've made it to the end game, Johnny?
Overall, I absolutely love this series. I like the depth that we were able to get into with Sam, and I liked the depth we were able to get into with Bucky, and how that we were able to watch that relationship blossom into something that was a great buddy comedy buddy adventure. And sure, the Flag Smashers may be a terrible name, but I like how there was a lot of humanity to that villain. And I like how that we were able to actually start seeing good Marvel villains in this whole area, as opposed to it just being something that Marvel throws at a hero with very little backing or feeling. It's an actual good villain, and their use of villains in this is spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much on the same boat where I like how they're doing this now. I mentioned it in the WandaVision podcast where I like the idea of taking maybe less fan favorite kind of characters, or maybe ones that haven't been developed as much as like Iron Man and Cap and the Guardians and whatever, giving them their own short series and kind of fleshing them out, kind of like how they do in comics when they first introduce characters. They give them a short series to see how they do, and then from there they introduce them into their main storylines and whatnot. And it did take an episode to get Sam and Bucky together, but when they do, they have a lot of good chemistry, and I really like those parts. Those are my favorite parts of the whole show.
See, I am of two minds on it. I would make the case, I am not the MCU lover that many people are. I like it. There's plenty of things that I like. There's plenty of things I just think are fine. They're okay. I don't think they make anything really bad, though. I think the finale saved the entire series for me, like it, because it paid off everything. And I saw some reviews that were just like being really harsh and saying that the finale whiffed and flopped and all these other things. And I'm like, I don't know what you watch, man, but it paid off everything that I was watching. Like, it brought me to love this show because of the ending when I hadn't loved it up to that point. I only just thought it was okay because I thought the pacing was way off. I really felt like there wasn't enough forward momentum in the early episodes. It took a while to get going. The best part about the show is Bucky and Sam together, and there's not enough Bucky and Sam together. Now, I realize that's not what the show is trying to be. It's examining both of these characters and their own particular plights. You know, Bucky's got to deal with his atonement issues. Sam has to wrestle with the fact that he gave up the shield and his own path to Captain America because he had a hard time accepting that a black man could be Captain America. And I thought that was a really cool story to follow, actually. And it did pay off in the final episode. And because of kind of the slower pace and the slow buildup that I really didn't like at first, it kind of works for me a little more with the finale because I got the payoff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, as a whole piece, it works. I do feel like the pacing was a little off in spots, and that affected my enjoyment of it. But man, there's a lot of great moments in this series, and I overall probably enjoyed the whole of it more than I did WandaVision. I'm also a sucker for comedy, buddy comedies. So
yeah, buddy economies are always a thing. See, what I think what they're doing a lot of is giving you a reason to care about Sam, because though we've seen him in the movies and though True. We like him in the movies, he is not the focus in the movies that he's in. So it seemed like they were doing what their best they could to show just exactly how capable he is, number one. And then number two, to show his sense of morality and how he uses it in every situation. So a lot of the things that I thought that I looked at and I was like, wow, this is a little bit bad, not bad, but a little bit slow paced. I was looking at what they were doing in those moments, and it was really putting puzzle pieces together to show us a three-dimensional character versus that they have to work a little bit harder on getting people behind than they did for Iron Man or Captain America and so on and so forth. It just seems like they did exactly what they needed to do to give us reasons to care about these two side characters who are now probably going to become main characters.
Well, and I think a large part of that, my opinion, is because Chris Evans was a perfect Captain America. Nobody can argue that with me. He was a perfect Steve Rogers, perfect Captain America. And you saw how fans reacted when you know, Wyatt comes in here and wears the mantle of Captain America. I mean, they just teared his life apart online, right?
Oh, yeah.
And because I feel like they knew, Marvel knew that if we change and we just give Sam his own Captain America movie next, instead of some kind of interim, there's going to be outrage. There's going to be backlash. You know, people just aren't ready for it because they're still kind of mourning Steve Rogers. This felt like a really smart way to do that, to give that backstory, to build it up so that people were on board. Because now I'll be honest, if you would have announced Captain America 4, I'd been like, no, man, Steve Rogers is Captain America still. Like, Chris Evans just left. Da, 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 da. But now that I've had this, I'm on board. Like, I want to see Sam take up the mantle now, because now they've won me over to him being Captain America. Like, he's earned it, where I feel like Steve Rogers had earned it in the first movie. So, I mean, I feel like that buildup was necessary, and that was a smart way to do it. And you can just, everybody that's like, well, I don't believe that. Yeah. Look at the reception John Walker got before he did anything. Like, they clearly layered out that he was a freaking hero. He'd done all these wonderful things. He was a great soldier, and still people hated him. So tell me that's not that wasn't going to be an issue, and Marvel saw it ahead of time, and they nipped it in the bud.
I mean, yeah absolutely. It was perfectly executed.
He was definitely the sacrificial lamb, where they're just like, let's see how this goes. Nope. Okay. That's, yep. They hate that. All right.
They sure did. Wyatt Russell's
the memes
like,
were great though.
I'm off the internet just for a while. You guys are nuts. I'm out of here.
You know, I gotta appreciate a sacrifice for the memes though. Seeing the old man from Up in cap suit was really funny to me.
Yeah, that was that's worth it, I think. So stories, pluses and minuses. I mean, just the overall story. Did anything really connect with you or not connect with you? Like, you wish they would have just avoided the whole element of it. Either one. Vinny?
I do like, and I know people are probably gonna be like, oh, it's so tired, or I'm tired of politics in my entertainment, but the whole idea of Sam taking that mantle of Captain America, it's a lot heavier for him being a man of color with all the implications piled on top of it. Because just thinking about America's history, you know, in the real world, especially when they touch on that with the Isaiah Bradley character, where that stuff actually happened. Mm-hmm. Like, the Pentagon actually admitted to doing secret testing on just the black soldiers. And they, even during World War II, like, they fought for this country and to protect the freedoms we love to talk about all the time, but they still were segregated. Like, they had their own platoons, they had their own Air Force branch, because I guess it was easier that way than avoid confrontations. And there was still that tension there. So to see Sam wrestle with not only being like, well, you know, Steve was the perfect cap. He's the perfect leader. He was inspiring. Just like, people looked up to him, and to take over that mantle has so many different implications that he has to address and that he's going to have to deal with. And he even says, like, just sitting here right now, I can feel people looking at me all kinds of different ways. Like, some people are looking up to him in that moment, and some people are looking with disgust and hatred for maybe just because they don't agree with America, or they don't agree with him being Captain America, or whatever it is. So I think that's actually a really, really well done and well executed storyline. And as for the people who don't want politics in their Marvel movies or whatever, comics are full of politics. So
yeah, they are.
Especially Marvel.
Go read X-Men. Go actually read X-Men.
Right.
Speaking to that, you know, what I thought was so fantastic about that whole element was I didn't realize they were going there until about episode 2 or 3. Like, when Isaiah Bradley's story comes up, and I'm like, where they go? Oh, it never even occurred. Like, to me the whole time, I'm just like, well, they just won't accept him because he's not Steve Rogers, da 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 da. It didn't occur to me. And that's probably, you know, shame on me for not putting that together. But I really liked how they handled it, because it wasn't like in your face. It was very subtle and it was very earned. And I was understanding of the whole plight by the time they really got into it, which I thought was handled very well. Like I said, I was very surprised that they actually went there, because Marvel kind of plays it safe in a lot of respects. And that's a pretty hot button topic these days. And I thought they handled it well. And I was extremely impressed. And we could probably just segue to Sam since we're already talking about him. I was extremely impressed with Anthony Mackie because I've liked him. I've liked Falcon and Sam in the Cap movies and Avengers and whatnot, but he's never really been a character I was like, oh, he's cool. You know, I liked him. I liked that he was a counselor and that he really cared about people. I liked those aspects, but they didn't really dive into it at all. And here he gets a full canvas to really dive into it, especially like the last couple episodes. Man, I was in tears the finale. Legitimate tears. Watching a freaking comic book show, I was crying because he was so poignant, so powerful, but also kind of subtle about what he was trying to get to the point. Like, he wasn't hammering it through anybody's head. He's just like, listen, just listen. And I'm trying to explain what I'm saying. And he did a great job, like fantastic acting. I was really, really surprised. I just have never been that taken with Sam as a character just because he never really got his own canvas. And now he did.
Yeah. That final speech was a thing of beauty, just seeing how he executed it and how he's delivering his lines in those moments. That was just a thing of beauty.
And honest. It was a very honest monologue.
And to me, that's when he truly is embodying Captain America, because I've seen some really weird takes on Captain America and how he, just because people have problems with America in general. But to me, Captain America's always embodied that idealistic, perfect American dream and the American way, where you are supposed to help everyone you can, no matter what they look like. You're supposed to, you know, help the little guy out. You're supposed to be the example of justice. And Sam made sure that that's what he stood for. He was very in your face about it. Like, you call them terrorists, but to someone else, they're freedom fighters. Like, you only label them that to avoid answering those hard questions. What you're doing is negatively impacting so many people. And I love how he says, when you come up with the solutions or when you make these decisions, who's in the room with you? Is it the people you're affecting, yeah, or more people like you? And I think that resonates really well, especially with times like now, where a lot of people do feel that way about policymakers. Like, who are you really in this for? Are you doing this to actually help people, or are you doing this to help people like you?
I like the whole arc of his story. You know, at the beginning when he's dealing with the bank with his sister, he's kind of sort of banking on the idea that people are just going to accept that it'll be okay because he is Falcon, and that, you know, but he gets turned away from the bank, and yet he still maintains his idealism, and he still maintains like his hope for people wanting to be better. And you can see that as his character arc goes. And it not only does he get challenged over and over again about how people are treating him and treating other people, but he gets challenged and he meets that challenge and maintains his virtue over and over and over again. And I think that's great.
And I really like they brought back a renewed focus on his counselor skills. I mean, how he wants to reach people, how he's a very compassionate person. And I really dug that. And I really like especially how it played out, because in the first episode, when he gives up the shield, I think everybody was like, what are you, an idiot? And then we finally understood it, like as the series played out. I'm like, oh, it never even occurred to me that that was a reason why. I just, you know, I thought like a 40 other reasons why. So that was fascinating. But I love the humanity and the compassion that he showed, especially to Carly, because he's, you know, in too many of these Marvel movies, they're just trying to stop him and thwart him. But Capo was always the exception to that rule. You know what I mean? Like, he was so concerned with Bucky. I mean, not just because he was his friend, but because it wasn't his fault. He didn't have a choice. So he was trying to help him in that respect. I firmly believe if he thought Bucky did those things intentionally, he wouldn't have done the same actions. He wouldn't have had the Civil War and whatnot. And that's very much where Falcon is coming from, or Sam is coming from in this show, where he's very much saying, I want to be the same kind of person. Like, I am the same kind of person. I want to find the value and a person. I don't want to just assume the worst in them. I love that. Now, how about Bucky? You got Sebastian Stan doing the Bucky Barnes, formerly Winter Soldier, but still has a bitchin' arm, so he's kind of the Winter Soldier. And his whole arc is he's atoning for his sins, and he's going through. And Sam says one thing that I really loved, which is, you know, you got to put in the work. And he wasn't to that point. And he finally has to own up to his actions to people if he really wants to find any kind of personal relief. So he's facing his demons. What did you guys think about Bucky's arc? And do you think he got as much to do in this series as Sam? Because I do feel like even though it's called Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it felt more like Falcon, also sometimes the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it definitely felt like Falcon was the main focus and Bucky was there to kind of support him and help him through his own thing and then also on the way heal himself and figure out how he would do that. Overall, I think it was a great job by Sebastian Stan as far as the acting goes, and any action scenes he was in were really fun. And he definitely had some of the more emotional moments, like when he finally confesses that he was the one that murdered that guy's son. Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't his fault, but he still owned up to it. Like that was me, because this is something that's been plaguing. Like, he was kind of doing a half measure. Like, he was hanging out with him and trying to make him feel better, but he was still like, he knew the whole time, but he didn't come forward with that information. So when he finally decides to, like you said, put the work in, he says, just rip the Band-Aid off and be like, yeah, that was me.
I really enjoyed his character arc, because at the beginning of the show, you see somebody who he's placed so much of his value on what Steve thinks of him. And that's his guiding light at the moment, is thinking that, well, Steve was somebody with virtue and strength and power, and he believed in me and believed that I can be better, and I keep working at being better. And I'm, you know, and you see that his values like wavers back and forth because of that. And then you see that because Sam gave up that shield, that it really affects him and it really takes him down, because it means that, well, if Steve was wrong about Sam, then maybe he's wrong about me. And you can see how it really tears him apart in those moments. But to see, watch his growth go from being somebody who doesn't know how to measure his own value, just the value of others that others put onto him, to eventually become this person who has a lot of value to himself, was really well done and beautiful to watch.
My favorite moment in the whole show is the very end where Sarah's kids are doing pull-ups on his arm. That's literally my favorite moment in the whole show. I just thought that was so funny. And I'm like, why hasn't anybody done that yet? That was great. But I loved the fact that I was so surprised with Sebastian Stan, because I've watched all the movies. Like, Captain America is my favorite of all the Marvel movies across the board. Like, for the MCU, Cap is my guy. And even that said, I don't think Winter Soldier's really had much of a personality. You know, he's always been very stoic and dead faced, and, you know, he just looks like he's ready to kill. And honestly, he always looked a little chubby, because his face is always looking, man, probably that long ass hair. Here, I'm like, wow, he's actually a handsome dude. I even told him to my wife, I'm like, I didn't realize Sebastian Stan was that handsome, be honest with you, because with that hair. So, and in shape and whatnot. But here, I feel like they made him a fully realized character. Like, I love the banter between the two of them. I think they have a really good chemistry. I love the little nods to the previous movies, like where, you know, Sam's like, you know, you're not going to move your seat up, are you? He's like, nope. You know, I just, those little moments, I thought, were great. I wish we would have gotten more of them. I think I really did want more of them together, because it's called Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but, you know, they each had their own story to tell, so I understood.
Yeah, they definitely need a little more couples therapy, but they were doing pretty good with it so far.
Oh, man, so that would have been great. Do a whole episode of couples therapy.
Just do, like, that lady should be, like, the therapist for all of the MCU, and then just do like a short series. Like,
oh my god, that would be
the Marvel Files, where it's just them in therapy talking about different things.
I would watch that.
I'd love that.
There's all these Marvel spinoffs. Do that. That sounds like something I would love to watch. Like, right there.
That's a free idea, Marvel.
You can,
again, writing credit.
That would be so great. Like, you know, the Daredevil episode and the Incredible Hulk episode, just watching that and just seeing.
So why are you always angry, Bruce?
All right, then you get the most hated man in America, John Walker, who took on the mantle of Captain America, and then, I don't know, would you say he got overwhelmed with power, or he just got frustrated, or, like, well, how do you even define his character at this point?
I think you have a highly decorated soldier who's gone through a lot, most likely has PTSD, and then is, again, just like Sam, given a very, very heavy mantle put upon him. I'm like, how do you say no? How do you, if you're someone like that and someone's like, hey, you want to be Captain America? How do you say no? You can't say no. But then once you get the shield and the suit, it probably feels very heavy and you have all kinds of eyes on you. And he's dealing with whatever else he's dealing with. Like, he's got to live up to not only his previous expectations, but now being Captain America. And then frustrations with his perceived teammates, you know, Sam and Bucky not really wanting anything to do with him or to help him. He feels probably like he's kind of on his own, but, you know, with his friend. And then when his friend gets murdered, he has all this stress on him, and I think he finally just snaps. I think he was just wound a little too tight, and then just finally just something snapped.
I kind of read him as somebody who, I mean, yeah, he obviously has some degree of PTSD to him, but he's also somebody who feels like his medals aren't necessarily earned for doing righteous or virtuous things. They're earned for doing things and he struggles with the level of guilt that he has for some of those situations in which he was in. And then to have this mantle thrust on him, it just makes that pressure of dealing with the right or wrong of what he's done before even harder for him to deal with. And when situations aren't working out to be as clean and clean cut and nice as he'd like them to be, he starts to struggle with the stress of that. And of course, he's somebody who's running around on a Schwinn while everybody else has got Mack trucks of power to throw at him. And he
doesn't, Schwinn.
Yeah, and he doesn't know what to do with that. So of course, he's going to do what he can to just try to keep up with people who are, you know, outclassing him on every single fight. And it just gets worse when he does manage to get that power.
I one thing I really loved about what the show did with the writing was Sam point blank said, no, I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it. And I believed him in that moment. You know, I think I believed him. But John Walker, you knew he was going to take it as soon as he saw that vial. I'm like, well, he's taking it. He's taking it. Because the character's there. I mean, he was so desperate to compete, I think, you know, and have that equal power, be on the same footing, also be respected. I feel like he really wanted to be respected. He thought it would be a simpler process, and it wasn't. So you knew he was going to take it. And then he straight up murders that guy in public. One of the better moments of any Marvel property, because I'm like, they went full Zack Snyder right there. I did not see that coming.
Right.
So
super dark.
Super dark. Marvel doesn't do dark like that. So good, evil, like, where do you stand on it? You know, at the end, he's a U.S. agent. If either one of you can explain what the U.S. agent is, please do. I'm not a comic fan in that respect. I don't know the answer to that one. So where do you land on John Walker at the end?
He's definitely not evil. Like I said, he's just a man that was given an almost impossible task. Because again, how do you live up to Steve Rogers? He was just the perfect Captain America. He really embodied that whole character. So to do all that, yeah, he was bound to fall short. It's like they set him up for failure. So I don't hate him as much as most people do, but yeah, he definitely was not Captain America. And U.S. Agent is basically Great Value brand cap anyways, so he can have that.
Great Value brand cap. I like that. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to go with he's not necessarily evil. He's not necessarily good. It's more like he's going to be the kind of person who thinks he's going to be good, but of course he's going to be manipulated into a bunch of situations that he shouldn't be getting into, and he won't know 100% of the details in the future. And yeah, it's going to be a problem, as he'll end up being an accidental problem in the long run.
Yeah. I liked John Walker enough but I liked him because I didn't like him. Does that make sense? Like, I thought he did a good job of writing that line of, I hate him, but he's not really a bad guy, but I hate him. But he's not really that bad a guy. Like, he's confused. He's got PTSD. He's obviously got it. Like, he did a really good job walking that line. And I will say, Wyatt Russell, you did a wonderful job. You're not your father, but you're trying. So I'll give you some credit.
He's like his dad with all the pieces in the wrong spot.
Oh. All right. Well, Zemo, what do you think about old Zemo? Daniel Brühl returns and just knocks out of the park and dances, like creates a whole sensation by dancing. He's also dead set on killing all the super soldiers. So he's got his whole agenda the whole time. He's got the mask, I think, kind of for a second. But you get the full brunt of him, and you know he's probably the best villain in the Marvel Universe at this point, since Thanos is gone. Do you guys agree? Where are you at with Zemo?
Zemo was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed seeing him. I didn't like him so much in the Civil War, but in this, I grew to really enjoy his brand of evil, and just how... And it's not necessarily that he's evil. He's just so committed to
evil,
to being like, I don't know if it's evil that he's committed to. It's actually hard to tell because he's so committed to going after super soldiers and bringing them down and against supremacy in any way that it's interesting to see what he goes about, that he goes about it in such a way that makes him a bad guy. I also feel like this is Marvel starting to do their thing where they are going to set up the Thunderbirds, which for those who don't know, the Thunderbirds is kind of sort of like
Thunderbolts.
You're right. I'm sorry. The Thunderbolts are kind of sort of like Marvel's Suicide Squad to a degree.
So just led by villains.
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same premise. Just like, hey, do this stuff for the government. These top secret black ops, otherwise we'll kill you. I'm like, okay.
And were you guys surprised that Wakanda came for him in this series?
No, because they got those personal stakes, and that made sense to me. It was a welcome addition, if anything. That part where Fake Cap puts his hand on her shoulder, it's like everyone knew, like, ooh, buddy.
Yeah.
That's a great fight, too. They got their asses handed to him.
Yep.
And he just leaves the room Zemo knows that he's of nothing. He's got no value. He's like, you know what? You idiots fight. I am out.
I love the, oh, I can't believe he El Chapo'd his way out of here.
Right?
Right.
Like, how did he know that was there? And that's part of what makes him such a good villain, too, is he's very intelligent. That's what he's got going for him. He doesn't have super strength or speed. He's just very intelligent. A little charismatic, and he's got dance moves.
And he's in the prison that they were in Civil War now, yep. Right?
Yeah, that's the Raft.
Yeah, the Raft.
So did the Wakandans turn him over?
Yeah.
What'd they do?
Apparently.
When the Wakandans grabbed him, they specifically, when they were walking away, that we're going to be taking him to the Raft.
Okay. I missed that part. So I must have. I was too enamored with them. I was like, oh, they're hot and they can fight. I love this. All right, Sharon Carter, I gotta say, is probably the most predictable plot twist I've seen in a show in a long time. I was pleasantly not surprised by that turn at all. In fact, I was more impressed that they already had articles about it before the episode even finished. I'm like, yeah, that seems like a pretty easy call that Sharon Carter is the power broker. What did you guys think about Sharon Carter's inclusion here? I still loved having her back. I just thought they've got this whole mystery of the power broker. It seemed pretty obvious to me.
I didn't understand how she could turn heel that easily. Like, I understand her government kind of burned her for doing what she felt was right. But man, to just go full on like, yeah, no, I'm just going to sell government secrets because why not?
Mm-hmm.
Is like, man, you fell a long way, a long, long way.
She needed more backstory to why she went that far, like, especially once she got the pardon. I was hoping for, you know what, I want my life back. I want to go back to the life I had, or something along those lines. But the whole, I mean, she's like a, her, she was almost, if she had a mustache, she'd be twirling it when she walked out of that.
Yes. I'm in the U.S. government. I'll be selling all their secrets.
Get ready. No one keeps an eye on who has the secrets and who might be giving them away. So I will get them all to you.
Yeah. Next, she's going to be tying up Bucky and leaving him on railroad tracks.
Dropping an anvil on him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in complete agreement with that. I don't understand how she makes that the complete turn, especially when you look at her genealogy and you're like, well, she comes from stock of highly
moral, ethical, decent,
moral people. Yeah. So for her to make this sort of turn, they would need to give me a whole series just to tell me this story, I think.
Yep, I agree. In fact, I think they need to do that. And it's nothing to do with the actor. It has to do with, you know, with Van Camp. I think it's great that she's going after some revenge. Huh? See that? She was in the show. Mm-hmm. But on the same token, you have someone who literally chose morality and decency above everything to help Cap. So she was well aware of the stakes. And then she does this. Now, maybe you could make the argument she did it to survive. That's why I think, like, once she got the pardon, it's a harder sell for me that she continues to just dive deeper into that pool. I'm like, you gotta earn that story, and I don't think they've earned it.
But if she is selling secrets to, like, Hydra or something, I just want to throw out there the super crazy notion that what if we finally get multiverse craziness, and then they do bring in, like, another Cap? Like, I don't know, maybe they bring Chris Evans back, or someone who just kind of, like, looks like him. It's like, hey, we got Steve back. And then that Steve turns out to be the Hydra Steve. I'd be kind of for that.
I don't know. I kind of want Sam to have his own series for a while and just leave.
Well, no, it definitely wouldn't be anything soon. It would definitely be another phase or two, because that'd be a whole, it'd be their Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion, right?
Yeah, they're doing Secret Invasion, yeah.
Oh, it's Secret Empire, sorry. Their Secret Empire storyline where, like, Hydra infiltrates all kinds of aspects of the U.S. government, and Steve's story gets rewritten by some cosmic being to be a secret Hydra agent this entire time.
I'm so confused already.
It was a whole thing. Just Google it.
I'm just going to roll with it. Well, speaking of Hydra, we'll move her next. What about Val? Are you guys happy that Julia Louis-Dreyfus showed up as Val, who is commonly, possibly, maybe known, Contessa is known as Madam Hydra? And if anyone can explain Madam Hydra, please do.
I yield the floor.
Yeah, that's a deep, deep cut. I'm not super familiar with. What I gather is that at one time she was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She even had a thing with Fury, and then she turned out to be a double agent, something or other, and then she's also involved with Thunderbolts. It's a whole thing. So
they're setting her up for a longer play in the movies or shows.
Yeah, I think that's leading more credence to the whole Thunderbolts thing.
Yeah, which could be cool. It's likely we'll probably see a show about that soon. And but as far as it being Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I was completely shocked by this casting. When she came, like, you know, sashaying her ass across the floor, I was like, holy shit. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. And then the way she pulls that character off, I just think it's great, it's fun, and I'm so glad to see that.
You can call me Val, but don't call me Val. You can call me Val, but don't call me Val. I just love him. Like, that's so her, but it feels like she's still making the character, you know, it's bringing a character to life, and I thought that was great. I'm like, well, good, you found some use for her, and, you know, she's been doing kind of her own thing for so many years. It's nice to see her in this world. They get really the best talent. I don't know how much they're paying people, but it must be a tidy sum.
Right, yeah.
I mean, also, it's like, hey, do you want to be in a Marvel film? Like, oh, I don't know. Do I like money? Yes.
Exactly. Like, I know this would be
Oscar, widely accepted. Or do you want a Marvel film? Do you want an Oscar or a Marvel film? Just, you can't have both.
Oscar piles of money. Yeah, I'm going to go with the money.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Crowe's back on Thor. He's going to be Zeus or whatever. So, I mean, literally, they get every actor with some talent. They must pay a shit ton. That's great. All right, so last characters are Carly and the Flag Smashers. I still think that name is just awful, but I really, really, really loved Carly. I really felt like, even though I think they kind of made her a little bit too dark and evil at the end there, I really felt like she had a real plight. I felt like she was a real character. I felt like she had a real heart and compassion. Like, she felt like a fully realized villain in many respects. What did you guys think about Carly and the Flag Smashers? Gotta hate that name.
I really feel the same way about it. I like the character so much. I think halfway through the show, I was like, are they going to set it up so that she becomes the next kind of Captain America or something? Because that's where, like, you know, they're doing a lot of work to get me to absolutely like her. And I did. And then to see her go really dark, I was like, all right, well, this kind of makes sense also. But yeah, I like the idea that the Flag Smashers were more of an entity versus being a single person who's a supervillain. I thought that was better.
Yeah, because Flag Smasher name's borrowed from an old, kind of hokey Captain America villain. So when I saw the name, like, oh, well, that, okay, they're going to bring that guy. But no, it's just very modernized freedom fighter group. Like, they use all kind, they use their own social media, really. And they have their message and they have their goals. And that's kind of what makes them so likable. And what kind of, like, you understand where they're coming from. Like, it's not just, oh, well, we're going to do this because we feel slighted. So we're going to, I don't know, blow up buildings and steal all the money. And they do these things to help people like them. And that's what draws more people in until, yeah, later on when Carly's like, yeah, nah, just burn everything, blow it all up. I don't care. She's pretty much going for the full extremist martyr, kind of like, even if we die, the message and what we stand for is going to continue on. People will continue the fight. So I don't care. Just destroy it all.
I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't really know the actress. Is Erin Kellyman was her name. Great name. Spelled wrong, but great name. And she she just had such a sweet charm and kindness, while also like just turning on a dime when she needed to. Like, I really felt for her plight. Like, her plight always felt kind of real, and that's why I think Sam connects to it, obviously, because he understands what her plight is. It's just that, hey, we matter, you know, us here on the ground, we matter, and you guys need to pay attention to that. And that's why they did this whole serum thing. And I thought they did a really good job with really humanizing her and giving her depth. And then I feel like in the finale, a little bit, it became a bit cookie cutter and kind of took her humanity away a little bit, because it was just more kill, 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 rage, rage, rage. And I don't think that benefited the character at the end, but I still really enjoyed her performance and where they mostly had that character. Loved the end, though. I really, really did love that finale. I thought that was just great. Except for, I do wonder, okay, so when they're with Carly in the tunnel and apparently we get the whole power broker discussion, which was just painfully forced. Like, why does she need to own up to it right there at that moment? Like, she knows Bucky and Sam are in the tunnel, and she's still going to just blatantly be like, hey, pfft, I am the power broker, by the way. If you were not aware, just so everybody else is aware, I am the power broker.
That's right. The part where she spikes the lens and be like, hey, guys, I'm the power broker. It's me.
She did.
Hi.
Wink, wink.
She pulls up a lower third and shows her credit, and it says Sharon/power broker. Like, huh? Huh?
She's got her business card. She's throwing out there like, Sharon Carter, power broker. And then just
that has to be the clunkiest thing in the entire series, was just that moment.
Oh, it was bad. Yeah, it was legitimately a bad moment. I mean, I'll be honest. It was a very bad moment. Very clumsy. It was almost like they got to the end and like, guys, we didn't reveal this yet. Ah, shit. Can she just say it? Like, just tell her that? I mean, right in the open, that'd be fine, right? Well, aren't we worried that Carly, while she's talking to Sam as she's dying, that she might throw it out there? Nah. Why would she do that? That makes too much sense.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like, she was alive long enough, she couldn't be like, it's her.
Yeah.
Even being as cryptic as that, it's her. Like, what?
Something. Put it a seed in his mind or something. But instead, he's like, I didn't know. Hey, I'm seriously going to get you that pardon, which in a way kind of is going to make Sam look bad at some point.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Of everything we talked about, is there anything else that stands out to you, like as a favorite moment from the whole series, all six episodes? I mean, definitely, I think we can all agree that Cap literally killing someone with the shield is up there as a highlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that imagery is pretty striking. Just
I just love how dynamic they got with Sam and his fighting styles and how he uses the wings in his fighting style. And so he can't match them in his strength, but he can use that jetpack and the wings to at least even the ground a bit. And I thought that was badass. Oh,
in the finale when he like barrels through the freaking helicopter and rips that guy out. That was great. I loved it. Hey, you're going to count to five.
That was a callback from the first episode.
Was it in the first episode too? I think maybe I forgot that.
It was in the first episode too.
It's a great moment. I don't care where it was. It was great.
Yeah,
he
saves that captain.
Oh, that's right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay.
And then that moment where he's on the bridge and he creates the shell around him with the wings and the shield at the top to bounce the thing off of him. Like, that's badass.
Yeah. And that kind of creativity is, like you said, it's really cool to see just little touches. Like, there's a part where he's fighting Carly. Well, he's not fighting Carly. He's just defending. And, like, he blocks her blow with a shield, but obviously, being a normal person, he just get knocked on his ass. Instead, he blocks with the shield and then the wings immediately like sink into the ground and create like a stabilizer for him.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff like little things like that are just really cool.
And the fight with John Walker and Bucky and Sam.
Yeah. I had a little problem with that though.
Okay. What's the problem?
Because unless he definitely took the serum at that point, which I don't think he did.
No, he had by then.
I saw him pick it up. Was it confirmed that he took it?
The guy jumped out a window and lived.
Yeah, he had taken it by that point. He totally was serumed up. He was a serum.
Well, because I thought that was the same scene.
No, he was. That's why he was so juiced up. He had just gotten all that power, and that's how he caught up to the guy and basically beheaded him. Whether that guy realizes it or not, he no longer has.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be a whole thing where he'd have to inject it, and I thought he just picked it up. Because I'm thinking the whole time, like, how's he keeping up with Bucky and Sam at the same time?
Yeah, they just implied that he took it with a lot of things, because there's that moment where the first fights break out in that abandoned building and he kicks that super soldier through a wall and Sam's looking at him like, instead of like looking at the super soldier like, what did you do? He looks at like John and goes, what did you do? Because he knows in that moment John had taken the serum.
Okay, you're right.
Oh, we know we're right. We're just making sure.
I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sure thing.
Hey, it's a lot to remember. As long as you're trying to do this. Yeah. All right. So, do you guys want season two?
I would love a season two.
No, like so far, these are very well self-contained stories that tidy themselves up nice and set up just little seeds for future projects, which I imagine will be movies and not shows. So I'm perfectly okay with just these short stories. You just leave it as is.
So would you want Bucky in the Captain America 4 then?
Oh, yeah. I'd definitely love to see more Bucky and Sam. I just don't need another show.
Okay. I would like a Winter Soldier show. I would really like to see Bucky get a little bit more of his own story. I really feel like they kind of shortchanged him in this one, and I would like that expanded a little bit more.
Yeah, they could do that. I don't think I really need a season two of this show.
Well, wouldn't it be called Captain America and the Winter Soldier? Because that's how they end the title screen.
Yep.
I mean, it has to be at this point, right? You can't call him Falcon anymore.
Yeah, it's not Black Falcon. That's Captain America.
That was on the nose, but I still liked it. I'm like, I like that. That's good. That's good. All right, so your score for the season as a whole, the entire season of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, if $10 is the full price of admission, what do you give it, John?
I give it a 9.
Damn. Vinny?
I think I'd give it an 8.5.
Okay. I'm going to give it about a 7 because I do think there were some pacing issues initially, but I'm glad they came out of it. And oh, I didn't answer the question. I would like another season of this. I would watch another season, but you would have to change the name for sure. That's it. Vinny, thanks for stopping by and doing this. Really appreciate it.
Glad having you here, Vinny.
Like I said, anytime the court appoints me, I'm here.
Anytime the court appoints me. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Remember, you can always subscribe to The Hollywood Outsider, or you can just visit the website at thehollywoodoutsider.com. All our reviews are there. You can subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Please leave a review if you do. And that's going to do it for this episode. And remember, the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn. But you probably watch this at home. Probably both of them at home. So you could still buy popcorn. You just get microwave popcorn. It's fine. I don't know where I was going with this.
Get a popcorn popper, like a normal person.
like all normal people have popcorn poppers at their house.
Hey, man, microwave stuff is bad for you.
I think popcorn in general is probably bad for you.
The butter is what makes popcorn bad for you.
Also what makes it good.
That's true.